I believe the time is coming when the Lord shall come again. I believe the end is nearing every day. I believe the good old Bible from beginning to the end. Just compare today with Matthew 24. And we are living in the day he speaks above. All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us greet them with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. While upon the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him, saying, Master, tell us when these things shall be. Just be ready, be watching, let each one be free from sin. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are hating every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. Many wars shall come upon us when the end of time is here. Many earthquakes will be numerous in those days. All of these we die or have, and then Matthew will appear. We should live our lives for him and sing his praise. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. Many wars shall come upon us when the end of time is here. Many earthquakes will be numerous in those days. All of these today we're having, and in Matthew will appear. We should live our lives for him, sing his praise. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray.
You said that you'll come and share all my sorrow. You promise you'll be there for all my tomorrow. I came so close to sending you away. But just like you promised, you'll show me the way. I just had to pray. And Jesus said, come to the water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be denied. I felt every teardrop when in the darkness you cried. I was there to remind you that for those tears I died.
Your goodness
so great, I just can't understand. But dear Lord, I know that this was God's plan.
I know you're here now and always will be.
Your love loosed my chains, and in you I'm free. But Jesus, why me? And Jesus said, come to the water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be denied. I felt it.
teardrop when darkness you cried. And I was there to remind you that for those tears I died. Jesus, I give you my heart and my soul. I know without God I'll never be whole. Savior, you open all the right doors, and I thank you and praise you from earth's humble shore. Take me, I'm yours. And Jesus said, come to the water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be denied. I felt every teardrop when in darkness you cried. And I strove to remind you that for those tears I died. Your goodness so great, I just can't understand. But dear Lord, I know that all is a plan. Savior, here now and always will be. You let loose my chains, and in you I'm free. But Jesus, why me? And Jesus said, come to the water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be denied. I felt every teardrop when in darkness you cried. I'm there to remind you that for those tears I died. And Jesus said, come to the water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be denied. I felt every teardrop when in darkness you cried. And I strove to remind you that for those tears I died. Open your eyes, you battle-scarred soldier. It's later than ever before. He will appear some glorious morning. His coming is nigh at the door. Open your eyes, you battle-scarred soldier. It's later than ever before. He will appear some glorious morning. His coming is nigh at the door. Open your eyes, you battle-scarred soldier. It's later than ever before. He will appear some glorious morning. His coming is nigh at the door. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the one that always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him. And you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. I shall know him, I shall know him, as redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the prints of the nails in his hand. Standing somewhere in the shadows, Jesus, he's the one that always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him. And then you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. I shall know him, I shall know him as redeemed. By his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him by the prints of the nails in his hand. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the one that always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. I shall know him, I shall know him as redeemed. By his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him by the prints of the nails in his hand.
The wounded soldier, pick up your weapon, come fight the battle, we're not alone. For the angels are camped around us. We're not defeated, we'll soon be home. A wounded soldier, pick up your weapon, come fight the battle, we're not alone. For the angels are camped around us. We're not defeated, we'll soon be home. A wounded soldier, pick up your weapon, come fight the battle, we're not alone. For the angels are camped around us, we're not defeated, we'll soon be home.
Yeah, we've been in a fight. We have to fight. We have to fight this fight on three fronts. The worst one, the hardest one is to tell people the hour we're living in, because, you know, they all know that scripture, no man knows the day or the hour. But that's why Jesus wept over Jerusalem, because they didn't know. That's why he said, as it was in the days of Noah, they did not know. As it was in the days of Lot, they did not know. And the minute we mention the hour we're living in, so it's a tough sell. It's a tough road to hoe. It's a tough road to overcome that, you know, combat that thing. And then another fight we're on is to expose the unfruitful roots of darkness. It's not easy to tell people how these tugs, these so-called preachers in the pulpit, these so-called bishop and elder. It's not easy street that you're going to have to go out there and expose them and expose the spirit behind it. We're not against the person. That's just who they've opened up their doors to that spirit, to that demon that's controlling that. That had right old system, and you, the minute you as much as touch that thing, I tell you, you're on their hit list. You know, mm-hmm. It's just part of the thing. That's why we battle every day to fight against these things and expose the unfruitful darkness. Tell the people the hour we're living in, and it, mm-hmm. like I say, when you analyze it, it's a tough road to hoe.
Yeah, you can really notice when you talk to people, to the Hutterites, or 20 of these religious people, they're nice. When you talk to them on our ordinary going subjects,
on their level.
Ordinary going subjects for every day and materialism, the conversation can go. But as soon as you touch that religion, that's when they, that spirit starts rising up.
Yeah.
And then you can quite right away notice it, that, you know, that spirit starts rising up, and that's that religious spirit in them that does that.
Yeah, but we'll just keep chipping away. That's our job and job assignment. And that's what we'll just keep doing what we're doing because we had nothing else to do.
Mm-hmm.
Heavenly Father, we just want to stop for a moment in time just to give you thanks for this another day of life, for the many things you do for us, Lord, for watching out for us throughout the night and throughout the day, from all these invading forces, Lord. We just pray you just continue to do with us as you see fit, because like we keep saying, we don't have a program, we don't have an agenda, we just try our level best to keep our spiritual sanity and stay alive in the hour we're now living in. I pray just to continue to use us for your honor and for your glory. Do with us as you see fit. Help us to keep our head above the water in these closing days of time, Lord. We know exactly, precisely the day and hour that we're now living in, Lord. And we just pray you'll give that increase to the things that we say and do, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Like I say, it's a battle. Like, we're in the battle. We're in a fight, and it's mm-hmm. no use pretending otherwise. We're in a war zone. Where Satan has his, as he said in his last time, it's going to be very hard to be a Christian. And Satan, he'll throw everything he can at you wherever he sees a little bit of an opening. But see, you and I, we're sober. We're vigilant. We know his tactics. We're not ignorant of his tactics and his conniving ways that he uses people and what he does in these closing days of time. And we, like when that Charlie Kirk, he seems to be this a hot item right now. When he went to the Lord and he saw what the Obamas are doing and these corrupt politicians, and he saw the country going down the tube, and he saw that nobody can do nothing about it. And he went to the Lord and he said, Lord, send me. I'll get the job done. And so, but the minute he said that, you put yourself out there as a target, because believe you me, when you say that, Lord, send me, you're on their hit list. And he sent them right into the lion's den, right into these demon-infested universities where they've been brainwashed from back in the 60s. It's Marxist ideology. They've been infiltrated, and now he sends them in there to combat and to debate with these people. I tell you, you got a mark on your head. But see, he's about the Lord's business. The Lord will protect them. But see, it still has a fight, and he spoke exactly what the Lord wanted them to speak, to go in there and debate them about Christianity, about the things that are needful in the hour we're now living in. And like I say, you got a target on your head. They threaten them many times to kill them, and they threaten them to stop. If you come to this university, you'll be killed. You'll be assassinated. What the hell? Well, he didn't allow himself to be intimidated. And that's the key about this whole thing. Well, the Lord gave me this assignment. I'm going to do it, and that's it. And the same with us. He gave us an assignment to go up via the scripture, to go up and expose that thing for what it is. That first it was that Hutterite thing, that Hutterite religion. I tell you, if God gives you ever the grace to see the spirit that's driving that Hutterite, these cults, that especially that Hutterite thing, I could not sleep for days, and I couldn't eat for days when I saw the spirit that's behind that thing. But see, he hides himself. But here in his end time, all we're doing, we're exposing the spirit of the thing. Like, I could talk to any one of the people, and I enjoy talking to them, but you're, at the end of the day, you're not going to get anywhere, because that spirit has them blinded. The God mm-hmm. of this world has blinded their eyes and their understanding, that they do not see the glorious light of the gospel. They don't hear us, you know. You can talk to them on their level, you know, talk about the thing that's concerned to them, but that's not our mission. Our mission is to expose that thing, and for what it is. It's not a very good thing. And it says, here in his end time, God will take the reps off of everything, and he'll expose everything. He'll even expose the intent of a person's heart. And that's what the Bible says, because that's our mission. That's when he sent me in there back in the early 90s. He woke me up. And I say it over and over again. Sam, I'm coming soon. And then he gave me a commission. And I fought this thing for 2 years. I didn't want to go up and tackle these other preachers because I know what they do to people when you oppose them. They put you in the house. They take everything away from you. But the Lord warned me. I wanted to go up and speak for me and expose them for who they are and what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And they let me know. They'll take everything away from you. It's no use to think you'll have easy street. And sure enough, they did come in and said, you don't have a wife, you don't have no children, you got nothing. You don't even have a name. You're just a number. Well, the Lord had told me to just go up and expose that thing, and that's what I did. I was not a happy camper, so to speak. But I tell you what, I had to do what the Lord told me to do because I was willing to lose my life for his sake and the gospel. Mm-hmm. Just that simple. And he'll take you down the path like he told to Peter, when you were young, you did pretty much what you wanted to do. You wanted to go fishing, you went fishing. You did what you wanted to do. But now when you get older, there's something else going to lead and guide you to places where you do not want to go. And that's exactly what happened to me back in the 90s, early 90s. He took me down a path that I was really not willing to go. And it took me 2 years after a chopped off finger and a chopped off foot and my whole world came caving in on me. Then I know what the scoop was. I just better do what he tells me to do, or I'm going to be out in the cold. And that's what I did. I just went to expose him. And I thought, you know, once you expose that other, I think, and your job is over. But then that's just a starting phase. That was just a starting phase. That he put money on. Now we got to expose that Eddie Biscoe, that Branhamite movement for what it is. It's all just part of Satanism. It's all it is. It's not of God. The fact that God sent Brother Branham, that's a fact. That's the truth because he is the church age messenger. But it's what people make of him, what the devil, like I say, always say, when God does something, the devil is right there to pervert it, to pollute it, and to see if he can disrupt it. And that's exactly what happened when Brother Branham went off the scene. Along come these wannabe preachers, and they began to demoralize, really, what Brother Branham was doing. And the whole purpose of his ministry, like I keep saying, his ministry is incomplete without the ministry of Raymond M. Jackson, because I was in there for 3 years. When I was in there for 2 years, I began to look around, and I began to see the effects of what the ministry of Brother Branham did. It caused division. In some cities, there's 3 or 4 groups of Branhamites, and they're not allowed to talk with each other. And it all comes from the ministry of Brother Branham. And I thought to myself, I stepped back and I quit listening to them because I could see what that thing produced. All these isms and all these cults and all these people can't talk to one another. There's the neighbor next door. He's a Branhamite, but he decided he's going to leave that church and go to the other one, and I'm not allowed to talk to him. And I began to see all that stuff begin to develop because of that Brother Branham's message. And I quit listening to the tapes. I quit reading his book. And I quit doing everything because I saw something in there that I could not understand. I saw the doom statements. I saw all these things. I saw what they created. And I completely backed off. And then the Lord brought me to the ministry of Brother Jackson, Raymond M. Jackson. And he's the only person that could take the message of Brother Brad and put it in its rightful place. And that's the job that Andy Biscoe had, to keep people away from the ministry of Raymond M. Jackson. It was driven by Satan to keep people from the completion of the ministry of Brother Branham. And like I say, without Brother Branham here, without Brother Jackson, that message doesn't mean nothing.
And like, when you follow Jesus, like, you're not going to have a whole crowd of people as your friends. In fact, you'll have no friends at all. Because it says in Mark 3, when Jesus was doing the Father's will, his family, it says Mark 3:21, when his family heard this, they went out to restrain him, for they said he's out of his mind. Mm. See, that's what's a result of following the will of God. people think you're out of your mind. Mm-hmm. And when I said to, very young in my life, I experienced God. But when I was 21, Jesus came by my way and presented me with the word, and I believed it. And for 1 minute, I had no future, and the next minute, I had a future in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in that Hutterite system, in that religious system, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's when I said to my brother, when he asked me what I'm going to do with my life, I said, I'm going to see what Jesus has for me. And, you know, some people in life, Jesus has a calling on their life, mm-hmm. but they just can't meet the conditions of it. Like, the conditions of it are not always suitable to the human nature, because the human nature is so designed that he wants to, first of all, was it's designed to kind of make a little kingdom for himself, or to have his a whole network of people under him. That's mm-hmm. the human nature. But when you work for God, it's the opposite, and you have to come into terms with that. If you don't come to terms with that, you're going to be constantly fighting and fighting, and in the end, you're going to wear yourself out. Having nothing. Like, I know people, like, they're so caught up in wanting people to accept them that they miss out on the calling that God has for their life. Like, if we would cater to everybody who comes our way and tells us what we should say and do, we would have no effect in the spirit realm. But because we're not obligated to what people tell us to say, but what the God of heaven wants us to do, that we create a lot of enemies. And Jesus, he had a lot of enemies. Every day that he went out, the more enemies he made, because those religious leaders did not like him. Those sects did not like him. Like, even the Pharisees wanted to get together with the Herodians to do away with Jesus. Mm-hmm. Like, you can read it in the Gospels, how these Pharisees and the Herodians wanted to do a conspiracy to assassinate and to get rid of Jesus. But, you know, they couldn't touch him until the time came when he was to be crucified. Other than that, they could not touch him. And he even came to a point where Jesus could no longer openly walk, because they were so dead set to get him. But his time was not yet come to go to the garden and to be crucified. But that's how it is with everyone who follows the will of God. In that channel, it's a lonely channel. It's a lonesome road if you let it to be lonesome. If you are affected by what other people say and think about you, then you're going to have a very lonesome journey. But if you rejoice in the fact that you can be allowed, that God allows you to that reproach and be persecuted for the sake of Jesus and the gospel, then there is a rejoicing that goes in your soul, and you can have a happy, joyful life.
Amen to that. Because that's why we're by ourselves here, because mm-hmm. there's not too many people that want to be part of it. Like I say, when I went up against these Hutterites, they gave orders not to put me in the house, to shun me and all that stuff. Well, I can live with that, because that's part of the program. When you decide you're going to follow Jesus, mm-hmm. you just look at biblical history. I've been reading my Bible all my life, and I know what happens to these people that sell out to the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be put in the house. Jesus warned us time and time again. They'll put you out of their synagogue, and you'll be hated of all men for my name's sake. We're not hated because of who we are. We're hated for what we stand for. We stand for truth. And we tell people exactly where we are at time. We put it out there yesterday when that thing showed up, that cloud showed up in the sky of Flagstaff, Arizona. And that's exactly the midpoint of Laodicea. And we went to explain it like we know the day and hour we're living in. Mm-hmm. That's one of the hardest fronts that we have to fight it, mm-hmm. to tell people that they and our we're living. Oh, right away, it's like a tape recorder there. Right? Right away, everybody knows that scripture. No man knows the day, the hour. But you got to go back and analyze. What did Jesus say when he said, no man knows the day, or the day, the hour? He was talking about the rapture. He was not talking about not knowing the day and hour we're living in. He was talking about no man knows the day when two will be sleeping in the bed, one will be taken, and one will be left. He did see, that's what he said. That hour, that moment, nobody knows about it. But he did not tell us that we will not know when he once again is going to start restoring Israel. And that's been our theme, and that's been our song and dance forever and a day, that you and I, we know exactly where we are in time. We could tell you that mm-hmm. right now, if we want to take time out, we could tell you exactly to the day mm-hmm. when Jesus is coming back to tie up Satan. We don't know when he's coming for his church, because it says no man knows the day hour. But we do know exactly where we are in time, because he gave us that midnight cry. And that midnight there was a cry. But see, because you and I, we have exercised ourselves like a wrestler. He has to do a lot of training to be a wrestler and to win that trophy. The same with playing hockey, and the same with playing baseball. The effort that these people put in, and then those Olympics, the hours and hours they put in with training so that they can, at the end of the day, they get a crown that doesn't mean a hill of beans.
Perishable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and here, we've been fighting all our life. We've been training all our life. And the scripture for a crown that'll never perish. Mm-hmm. For a crown throughout eternity that some way, someday, sometime, we'll have something to carry over into eternity and we'll have a reward throughout eternity. And that's what we're doing. That's why we have these fights that we have with people. Like I say, fighting on all fronts, first of all, one of the foremost things is try to tell people the day and hour we're living in. Mm-hmm. It's honed out for us, especially now in this end time, when you see all these things happen that are happening that we sing about. I mean, we had a mourning and we tell people where we are in time. And then that's a terror. That's the first thing they'll combat. You go in there. That is unforbidden territory to tell people where we are at time. We try it from time to time. Oh, no, man. No, today, the hour. Mm-hmm. Well, we do know the day and hour. We told them yesterday exactly, right to the day where we are at time. Like I keep saying, the reason they say that, oh, no man knows the day. They don't stop and go back and analyze just exactly what was Jesus saying when he said, no man knows the day. He meant it, like I say, he meant it, no man knows the day after rapture. But we do know, because his disciples asked him, will you once again at that time restore Israel? All he said, it's not for you to know. You read in between the lines what he's really saying. It'll be made known to somebody that lives in that time period. And that's why the Lord woke me up back in the late 80s, early 90s. He said, same, I'm coming soon. And as time went on, I began to set my face as a flint towards the heavenlies. And I began to lose all interest of the things of this world. And then later on, he gave, seek the Lord while he may be found. Search him out while he is yet near. That's what I began to do. And then all of a sudden, my whole world came caving in, and I knew I got to take this thing serious. And then, like I say, first he chopped my finger off, and then chopped my foot off, and then all my whole world came caving in. My son lost his fingers, my other son got lost in the forest, and I began to get serious, because I knew when the Lord speaks to you, when he tells you, same, I'm coming soon, you better do something about it. And after a while, I fell asleep again, and the Lord came and chopped my foot off, and then I knew, this is serious stuff. I better take this serious. And then he came to speak to me, saying, I want you to go up, and I want you to expose that Hutterite spirit, what's driving these people that they're so brutal and so ruthless when it comes to Christianity. And he told me exactly what they'll do, and that's exactly what they did. They're very, very vicious people. When you talk to them, oh, they're nice and sweet talking, just like it was back in the dark ages when these Jesuits and these people came to interrogate our forefathers, how they came with sweet, enticing words, tried to just kind of lure them in to get to compromise. Well, when they refused, then their true colors came out and they burned them at the stake. And they did everything brutal with it. And here the same thing happened to us. You know, the minute I refused to recant, I refused to bow down to their wimps. Guess what they did? You got till sundown to get out of here. They did exactly what they did to Jesus. They hired a Roman army to get rid of him. And that's what they did do. But that Jake from Bloomingard, he was a very, very vicious man. He didn't have no brains whatsoever. He was just stupid, eh? And then he gave orders. He said, if you're not out of here by sundown, the sheriff will come and pick you up. And I got up and I said, well, I'll get out. But before I do, I want to ask you a question. You're the leader here, aren't you? Yep. You're what the Bible would call a religious leader. Yep. I said, who crucified Jesus? Where do you want to go with that? I tell you where I want to go with that. You are just doing exactly what they did back in the days of Jesus. You got nothing on me. And now you want to hire the Roman army to get rid of me. And believe you me, if the law of the land of allow it, you would kill me right here in the spot. You'd have me put out to the firing squad or take to the burn me at the stake. But the law of the land doesn't allow it. So what do? You do everything that you can, everything that's in your power to do it. And you're just doing it. It's the same spirit, you know.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't change. Like, even when you were sick and that Joe from Cyprus came with two other guys, and then he was all nice and sweet until we started challenging him, but you know, and that religion, the religious spirit start noticing that, you know what, we're not going to go back to no compound. And then when that spirit started realizing that he's not gonna accomplish anything with his sweet talking, he started to get mean. And then that's how that spirit works. First of all, he'll be smooth and slick and everything, and trying to woo you over to their side and have all kinds of merits on your side. But once you decide, they realize that you're not going to budge from your faith, then they start to get the real side of that spirit starts being exposed, and they start to, you see it in broad daylight, what that spirit is really about, that vicious, mean spirit. Mm-hmm. And it stops at nothing, and it will stop nothing to kill the soul and the spirit. And that's what that Bread and Might movement is about too, because if people do not promote what God is doing and leading people towards the righteousness for your day and hour, it is actually a destructive spirit, and it means to destroy your soul and spirit. Mm-hmm. And that's why that gray horse rider in the Laodicea church age was set out to do. He was set out to lead people out to hell and death. And he doesn't use drunk people or some homeless guy off the street to do that. He uses prominent elite people to do that, that are standing in the pulpit and preaching, taking things from the Word of God. That devil knows the Bible better than we do. He knows everything, just like the left in the States. They know the Constitution better than the right do, but they know how to pervert it. And that's what the devil does. He uses things in the Bible to lead people astray and to pervert. And people, because of the Laodicea church age, they became so lax. And so we're wealthy. We're in need of nothing. We have everything around us. We have a life of ease, of luxury. And they didn't realize that there is an enemy in the camp, and that is taking them out to hell and death. And it's not a fun thing to say, leading people out to hell and death, because that is a destiny that nobody wants to go. But it's reality. It's not something that's a fantasy, but people don't like to hear that, because people have become, their ears have become so in tune to a certain frequency that they cannot hear the truth anymore. And the devil has done such a good number on people that when you speak hardcore truths, they run the other way.
Yeah.
As soon as you talk about things that they don't like to hear, they'll shut you out and they won't listen to you anymore. They run the other way. And then they have all kinds of things to say that your hate speech and your everything. Just they did like to did to Jesus, even his own family. They said he is out of his mind. In yeah. German it says, er ist von Sinnen. That means he's out of his mind. In German it says that. And, yeah. and you know, that's what people still think today. You're out of your mind. Hey, you're out of your mind. But don't think it's strange when these things come on you. Like, it can be a little discouraging if you take it in the natural and in the humanness of things. But if you really understand the spirit world and what the calling is really about when you decide to follow Jesus, that you're going to be classified here as the same thing. He is out of his mind. Yeah. They are out of their mind. They are beside themselves.
Exactly. I go to this colony, this Bloomfield colony, and the guy that saw me, I don't know whether I had my car or whether I was driving a cement truck through that colony, and I think I had my car. And that Jake, he recognized me when I was driving through. And then he went, you know, with his head, with his finger by his head, like without speaking, because I was in the vehicle and he was over there on the road. And he did with his finger in reverse, like you're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Without speaking, he couldn't speak to me, but mm-hmm. then he did with it.
Yeah.
I kind of find it comical just to see that. So the next day I seen him over here at Western Bearing, and I went over to him. What was that all about yesterday, like this? See, when he faced him one-on-one.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Well, I'm not crazy, I told him.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to tell him I'm crazy. I'm not crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Then he tried to get away from him. He tried to disappear.
Mm-hmm.
But see, that's just the nature. That's what they did to Jesus. Jesus, you're crazy. It's your own family.
Mm-hmm.
You're crazy. You gotta, you're out of your mind.
Yeah.
It's so contrary. Uh-huh. See, we're used to that. We've been warned. We've been in the Bible and we know exactly what's up there. We know exactly what they're doing to us. But then, and it's like you said, when you have 1 minute with the Lord, that all that stuff erases away.
Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't bother us anymore
mm-hmm.
because we're used to it. We're accustomed to it. It's our way of life when people reject it or when they don't want to have nothing to do with it. And we tell them the truth because we care about them.
Mm-hmm.
We don't hate these people. We care about them, so we tell them the truth, even at the expense of being shunned, even at the expense of going down. You gotta go to that lonesome valley. You gotta go it by yourself. There's no one there to go it for you.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta just do it by yourself, and that's what we're doing. And we're having fun at it, really. And the Lord, the Lord, He gives us a pretty tough road to him.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, we're fighting this front, this war on three fronts, and then he puts us on a 40-day fast. I don't like to tell people that because it seems like we're bragging about it, but see, there's a battle up the road here, so what does he do? Sometimes you just need to fast, like back in the days of Jesus. Jesus, they couldn't do nothing with that, cast out that devil from that guy, doesn't know exactly what it was, and then Jesus came by and he healed that guy or something, and then the disciples asked him, why couldn't we do it? And he said, this one, you cannot win the victory over that without fasting.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just have to step aside, take time out to fast, and that's what the Lord has us on, because he knows up the door there's a battle waiting for us, but unless we fast for 40 days, we're not going to be able to be the victor over that battle that's up the road. We don't know what it is, but we know he's preparing us, just like that hockey player. He's got to prepare himself to win the Stanley Cup, just like that baseball player. He's preparing himself all season long to prepare to go into the World Series. That's his only ambition. And that boxer, he's preparing himself to go in and win the fight. And that's what the Lord, he's the coach, and he knows just up the road. Same, these guys are just going to have to just take time out and fast, because I have a battle up the road here. And if you're not prepared, you're just not going to make it. And that's why we've come this far up the road to where we are today. He's using us to expose that Brenner movement, a powerful, powerful movement all around the world, thousands upon thousands of people, and be lured in by Satan through this deception, through this bruised serpent. And now he, just the two of us, we're going in that enemy camp, and we're exposing it for what it is. It's nothing but deception, nothing but people going out to hell and death, and it's nothing but feeding off that bruised serpent. He keeps saying it over and over again, yet you're going to be fed by some kind of a spirit. If you can't accept the fact that God sent Brother Jackson, then you, the Lord's going to give you over to a deluge, to a deluded mind, and you won't even know you'll be deceived.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what's going on in that Brennanite movement. The devil, they refuse to accept the fact that God sent Brother Jackson to clean up, to put the dual statement into his right perspective. Like I was telling you, there are sometimes three groups in one city, and they can't talk to one another. And when I saw this happening, I backed away. There's something here that I don't understand. And as time went on, the Lord did exactly what he said. When he pulled that net, then he says he put some into another vessel.
Mm-hmm.
And that other vessel is the ministry of Brother Raven M. Jackson. And he put me in that vessel. And then all of a sudden I begin to see, why the dual statement? Because his fan, the fan is in his hand. The Lord was just using that church order thing to fan out and to weed out all the garbage that had been collected in that movement. The believers, the unbelievers, the make-believers, mm-hmm. the people that are playing games. Separate them out, mm-hmm. and they don't, not to this day, they don't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
We're the only two people that are telling them
mm-hmm.
that.
And you know that it's so hard to come through to these people because of that religious spirit there. It just blocks you off immediately, like with the Hutterites. As soon as you mention Jesus is coming, they'll right away jump at you. No one knows the day and hour. See, the religious spirit never wants to be challenged. The mm-hmm. devil doesn't like a challenge. And mm-hmm. then he'll use a scripture to block you off instead of opening up a dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I believe a dialogue is very important because it can expand your horizon in your ways of thinking, because it grows you. And that's the same way with the Brennanite movement, that religious spirit. As soon as you mention Brother Jacks, that spirit closes off and they will shut you out and not let you in. Instead of like, okay, I'm going to have an open mind here now. Let's discuss the matter here and see. Like the Bereans, how open-minded they were. When Paul came on with this new teaching that they've never heard before, the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, they took it to the scripture immediately. Let's take it to the scripture and find out if these things are not so, like Paul is saying. But with a religious spirit, you just cannot penetrate. It's just a stronghold there, and that stronghold will not let them loose.
And they do exactly what they did to Stephen. Mm-hmm. Instead of sitting down and let's see what Stephen has to say, and he let them have it, and it was all true. So instead of opening up a dialogue with them, what did they do? They stoned them, mm-hmm. and they killed them. And that's the way it is today. But see, that's why I say we got to fight the three fronts, and sometimes we just got to step aside and go and take a breather, and that's what the Lord has us. He's got to, like I say, he doesn't require from everybody what he mm-hmm. requires from us. I tell you, and there, it's worth it all. And there's joy unspeakable, full of glory, and we got it good. We got his protection. We got 24-hour bodyguards. He gives us things to do, and we got nothing but a hallelujah time. He gives us each other, you know. Without you, I couldn't do nothing. We could not do nothing without each other. And then they, The devil takes it as an opportunity to think and try to tell people it's a sexcapade and everything's filthy under the sun. And we're about the Lord's business. That's all. That's all we care about. And let them say whatever they want to say. They're going to say it anyway, you know. Mm-hmm. But we're about the Lord's business. That's all. And the reason we do that, because we care about people. We want to tell them the truth. If you care about somebody, you tell them the truth, because the truth will set them free. Mm-hmm. A lie is not going to do nothing for them. A lie will just take them out to hell and death. And tickling ears. Like, we're not here to tickle anybody's ears. We don't have too many people on our side, because the things we have to say, they're pretty harsh. Some of them, in fact, some of them, the things we have to say, it's pretty brutal to the natural man. Mm-hmm. There's no room here for the natural man. Mm-hmm. That thing is the problem. He's got to be born again. And then he's got to be determined to do it no matter what the prize. I'm going to see what these two people have to say. Maybe they got something. Maybe he's got exactly what I'm looking for. But, you know, there's nothing we can do. We just, the only thing that you and I can do, we put it out there every day and take it or leave it. I've quit losing sleep over people, what they say to our thing. We just put it out every day, and then we go to our thing throughout the day. And we're having a great old time.
Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, Lord, and we know that you have called us to do this work here, and we just want to be found true and faithful to what you've called us to do, Lord. And we know that if we surrender our will to you, that you have a work for each and everybody. So we pray, Lord, that you'll help people to understand that you have a calling on everybody's life, and small or great, Lord, if they can only surrender their will to you, Lord, that you can use them for your glory. We just give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.